For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Sports Radio 960, The Ref.
All right, second half kickoff here for the morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. 8:06 on a Thursday morning. David Johnston and Logan Booker along with you. We'll have Georgia baseball coming up. 7 o'clock tonight, 7 o'clock tomorrow, and 2 o'clock on Saturday to wrap up the regular season. The sixth for Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland as the Dogs play host to Alabama this weekend. The Crimson Tide rolling in with both teams have a lot on the line. The Dogs still in the fight for the SEC championship, although Vanderbilt in the East has built a two-game lead on the Dogs, and Alabama part of the what we call Thunderdome. Three will enter, only one will leave. Kentucky, South Carolina, and Alabama all at 7-20. We bring in Coach Strickland. Hey, Scott, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Good morning, guys.
I guess you heard all of that, was kind of setting things up there a little bit with the top of the league playing the bottom of the league this weekend. It's kind of weird with Kentucky and South Carolina and Alabama all with their hands full. But before we get to all of that, how have the last few days been since we got back from Auburn and the guys not having any classes and not having any games? Have they had a chance to recharge the batteries?
Yeah, no question about it. We gave them Sunday off. We came back from Auburn Sunday morning, and we got back around 12:30 or so on campus in the afternoon, and obviously that was an off day, and we gave Monday off too just to try to rest up, and we need to heal up. And we had a light practice Tuesday, practice a little bit with a little bit more intensity yesterday, and now we're ready. So I think we're really close to being healthy. Tucker Maxwell, it's kind of like last week, and he's going to be in the lineup until he's not. So he's going to be written up there, and if he comes up and tells me that he can't go, then he won't go. But he's going to test it. He was in practice going pretty much full go yesterday, so I'm anticipating us being pretty close to full strength.
So as of right now, this is why I use a pencil, Tucker's leading off and Cam's back in the order, but it could be like we had last week at Auburn where Cam could be at the top of the order if Tucker can't go?
Well, most likely, but also, you know, Cam's been swinging the bat better and Tucker's been out for a little while, so I may, you know, move Tucker back just to let him see some at-bats before he gets to the plate, because it's tough to lead off to begin with, but when you haven't played in, you know, four or five games, it also makes it difficult. So I may still lead off Cam even if Tucker's in the lineup.
Gotcha, I understand. So the road trip last week was weird, where 2-2 with two extra inning losses and two wins, obviously, and I think outscored the opposition over the four games. But I know it was good to get that one out of the way, and now we can focus on being at home this weekend and know what the task is at hand.
Yeah, really tough midweek game on the road. We knew that going to Jacksonville State. Jim Case, a good friend of mine, and we agreed to go home and home this year. And it just kind of worked out that we were over in Alabama, you know, playing Auburn. So out of class, got to play them on Wednesday and lost a heartbreaker. I mean, that's just one of those that, you know, I think I said to you on the field afterwards, I go, man, that was really fun until it wasn't. And, yeah. You know, just we came back, we fought back, we take the lead. Two outs, two strikes, a hitter hitting 240, Zach Kristofak dealing, the wind's blowing straight in. The last thing I thought that was going to happen was a home run to tie that game, and you know, the kid just absolutely crushed it, and we're tied, and we do exactly what we didn't want to do, going to Auburn, go into extra innings, but that being said, we bounced back really well and won that series on the road, a really hard-fought series. So I think that says a lot about our team. We've done it all year long, just bounce back from adversity and find ways to win.
Coach, with C.J. Smith still out, I guess your lineup's been a little bit, or your starting rotation's been a little bit shuffled. Tony Losi admitted a couple weeks ago after his first Friday night win that that's been his dream to pitch on that Friday night, and he's thrived both times he's been out there, pitched some very good games. He's back out there this weekend as well, looks like slated for Friday. What do you see in him and just his motive, his drive when he goes and takes the mound on those big stages like that?
He's just angry. I mean, that's the only way to describe Tony when he gets on the mound. He is an angry man that wants to get people out. Everybody that he's facing, it is a competition. It's one-on-one, and he doesn't want to lose. And he is, I don't think there's any question, he's the most competitive guy on our team. Whatever he's playing, if he gets in that locker room and he's playing ping pong, man, it's to the death. He is going to beat you at everything. So that's the mentality you want on a Friday night. And he has. He's always wanted that Friday night position since he was a freshman. And it's just kind of worked out the way that that Emerson, you know, we took a couple weeks off with Emerson. Tony slid into that spot. And it's just kind of worked out. We kept Emerson on Saturday just to keep him the same rest. So he pitched Saturday last week, so we'll just keep him on Saturday again this week. And it works really well when you have the pitching that we do. Timmy Elliott started on Sunday. Now Cole gets to start on Thursday, so we don't have to move anybody. Everybody stays on the same rest. And now we can use Tim Elliott to start the first game of the SEC tournament. Cole can stay on Thursday. Tony can stay on Friday. And if we get to Saturday, then you've got Emerson. So we just like the way it's set up, and having Tim and Cole filling in have just been awesome. And, you know, CJ, we're really close to having him back. We think he's going to be available for the SEC tournament.
It was certainly nice to have Emerson back in that rotation last weekend and then back again this weekend at Foley Field. But what did you see from him? I mean, he looked like he didn't really miss a beat, a no decision, but certainly a great outing after sitting for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I thought he was very good. A little bit rusty, and that's the thing I kind of joked about afterwards. It would be nice to be rusty and throw 97 to 99. I mean, his velocity was right up where we thought it was going to be. Just his command was just a little bit off with, you kind of expect that when you miss two starts. You expect to have a little bit of command issues, but again, his command issues are not command issues for normal people. He was really good. He wasn't quite elite, the level that he is, and that's what we kind of expect to see back this weekend is, you know, that rust is now shaken off, and he's going to get back to being the elite guy that he is and not a very good guy. And he was very good at Auburn. He's an elite guy, and he sets those standards really high for himself. So, and he even said he didn't think he was very good at all. And everyone watching in the stands like, oh, my gosh, this guy's unbelievable. And so it's exciting to know that his best stuff's still in front of him.
So as far as the lat went and everything, he felt good after the outing?
Yeah, it feels really good. He threw his bullpen yesterday and felt really good. And that's the great thing about him is he's really honest, too. When he was not feeling good, he told us, I just don't feel right. And then every day, hey, I feel a little better. And so after he threw that inter-squad game on Friday before the Florida game against our own hitters, you know, he said, hey, I feel very good. I feel almost back to normal. And he took his bullpen that week. And after he threw, he woke up at Auburn on Sunday and said, hey, I feel great. And he's back on schedule.
So it's kind of interesting how this has worked out where Georgia is hosting Alabama, Kentucky – they're at home against Vanderbilt, and South Carolina's got to go to Mississippi State. So three of the top four teams in the league are hosting or are playing against the three teams that are fighting for that final spot to get into the tournament. And I bring all that up to let you talk a little bit about how, all right, so Bama may be 7-20 in the league, but they got a lot to play for this weekend.
Yeah, there's no question about it. They're fighting and clawing to try to get into the tournament. And, you know, last weekend they played 3 one-run games against Texas A&M. Really close games. They've been competitive in a ton of games. Brad Bohannon's done a really good job with those guys. They've gotten better and better every single weekend. And it's going to be a challenge. I mean, they're going to fight and claw to try to win the series and try to get themselves in the SEC tournament. And you look around, there'll be some scoreboard watching for sure. This weekend, we've put ourselves in a position where if Vanderbilt can find a way to lose, if Kentucky can find a way to beat them in one of these first two games, and we can take care of business, and we win our first two games, then we can scoreboard watch on Saturday and have a chance to win the SEC championship on Saturday. So that's what my goal was for this team, is to compete for an SEC championship. We're right there in that spot. We need a little bit of help, but we do have the tiebreaker with Vanderbilt. So if we can somehow find a way to get even with them in the standings, we can win an SEC championship for the first time in a long time this weekend.
Well, I know that's definitely the goal. That's always the goal, and hopefully that's certainly something that can work out that way. So with the tournament, I mean, there's a 99% chance. I don't know what would happen if there was a three-way tie or whatever, but 99% chance we'll be playing Wednesday at the SEC tournament. And forgive me if you don't want to get ahead. I understand that. But you were saying a moment ago, so the way you've got the pitching set up is going to be perfect. Would there be that weird instance, though, if Emerson didn't get to pitch next weekend, that wouldn't be a problem heading into the regional?
I don't think so. I don't think so at all. If that were to happen, then Emerson would throw – you know, if we didn't make it to Saturday, then Emerson would probably throw on Saturday against our hitters. If we were back here in Athens or whatever, he would still throw to get himself ready. It's not quite the same thing as being in a game. And then the other thing is, you know, we still got to check pitch counts. You know, he might, if we get to Saturday looking ahead, then, you know, he may be on a pitch count so we don't wear him out to get ready for the regional. So it's not a cut and dry thing when you say, hey, we're going to do this to get ready for next weekend, because, you know, having rest can hurt you and pitching can hurt you. If you go out there and throw a lot of pitches, you can be tired. If you don't throw as many, then maybe your pitch count isn't built up. So I think you just have to use the eye test, see what it looks like, and just be smart about the pitch count.
Are you a believer that the SEC tournament is a good thing to play double elimination and a few teams could end up using a bunch of pitchers heading into a regional, or do you like the format the way it is?
Well, it's really good for the fans. It's a great fan experiment or experience, but for the teams, it is tough when you get into those final few days. I mean, it's going to be 90-plus degrees in Birmingham, and you're going to wear yourself out. So when you're in the position that we're in, and you know, you look at Mississippi State and Vanderbilt and Arkansas, we all feel like if we're getting to Friday and Saturday in the SEC tournament, I think we're a lock for a national seed. So that's when you're going to start seeing pitch counts on the pitchers. You're going to see some guys that maybe haven't pitched as much pitching in those games late. And you're also going to see some maybe position players resting in those games if you get to that spot. Now, you always want to win. You want to win every game that you play. But the next weekend is more important. And so you always want a trophy. You always want to be able to dogpile and win a championship and win a tournament championship. So we're going to try to win every game that we play. But you also have to be smart looking ahead, knowing that we can't limp into the regionals because we threw everything on the table to win the SEC tournament.
When do you guys do your player of the year or the all-SEC teams? Have y'all already done those, or do you wait till after the final weekend?
Well, we got the ballots yesterday, and they're due Sunday by noon. So you could do them Saturday and get all the games and all the statistics available, or you can do them before the weekend. I choose to do it before the weekend. I actually did mine last night. So you know, if someone goes crazy this last weekend and jumps somebody, my vote's already submitted. But I think 27 games is a pretty good way to look at who deserves to be on the teams.
So can you reveal anything you voted, or can you?
I cannot. I keep that stuff to myself. It's like going to the polls. I don't say a word. I don't talk about that.
Can you
stuff.
Vote no for way. Your own players?
No, you cannot. Okay. You cannot vote for your own. Anyone that has to do with anything or anyone that has to do with your own team, you can't vote for. It's actually blacked out on the computer ballot. You can't even vote for your guys or anything or your team. You can't vote for yourself. So I think that's the best way to do it. And because everyone's going to vote for their guys. So if you can't vote for your guys, then I think that's the best way to do it.
So so you couldn't vote for Emerson Hancock, and would you have? I mean, is LJ Talley the best second baseman in the league?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah,
I don't think there's any question.
So you can't vote for him.
Nope, can't vote for him. But I think everyone else in the league realizes that and sees it. And you know, he's had a great year, not only offensively but defensively. He's one of the most dangerous guys in the league. You know, other coaches will talk about that's the guy. I do not want to face that guy. When the game's on the line, that's a guy you don't want to face. The Foskew kid from Mississippi State has really been good offensively. Defensively, I think LJ's a notch ahead of him. But he's a younger player, and I think he'll grow into that defensively. But offensively, you can argue LJ, you can argue Foskew. And, you know, there's probably a couple other guys that I'm not thinking about in the league, but those are the two guys that stand out to me.
All right, and one more question on that. So again, you can't vote for your own guys. So is there a pretty good chance either Mangum or Blade is going to win Player of the Year?
Yeah, I think so. Those are, and you also got Austin Martin from Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
You know, you've got those three guys, because you can put more than one player from your own team on the ballot. So Blade and Martin were both on the ballot. And obviously Mangum was on there. So, yeah, it's going to be a pretty good race between Mangum, Blade, and then also Martin is kind of the dark horse in there.
Well, all I know is I've seen Austin Martin play three games, and he didn't get a hit in any of the three games I saw him play in. So I don't know if he's any good or not, Coach. That was some great pitching that weekend.
He's really good. That was one of those when you looked at it afterwards, you couldn't believe that happened. And Blade only got two hits that weekend. So, you know, our pitchers were really good against Vanderbilt, and very, very easily could have swept that weekend, but still won a series against a great team and a really good offensive team. And you know, hats off to Coach Kenny and the pitching staff.
Coach, one way that you are certainly allowed to show your bias, I assume you were a very big Anaheim Angels fan yesterday. One of your former players, Jared Walsh, making his debut, went 3-for-5. Just not only a special day for him, but has to be kind of a special day for you as well.
Yeah, that was awesome. You know, I found out the night before that he was getting called up. It's kind of strange. A guy that I went to high school with, Jeff Fletcher, is the beat writer for the Orange County Register out there. You know, he travels with the Angels. He's in it all the way through. So I kind of got tipped off early on that Jared was getting called up, and then to be able to get to see that him get three hits yesterday, and it's just awesome to see. So much fun to watch that, and you know, just. I know his family's. They've been through a whole lot in the last 10 or so years, and for Jared to be able to do what he's doing, I know his mom's really proud, and just really excited for Jared and his family.
Well, that was definitely a great story to get three hits in his major league debut. Is awesome. Cole, is he just gonna? He can go as long as y'all need him to go tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think you know 90 is probably the number that we'll look at, but you know, if he's cruising, if you're in the sixth inning and he's at 85 pitches, he'll go back out there again. Just kind of depends on, you know, just his stress level and his workload. But you know, 90 to 100, I think, is where we'll be. And you know, Ryan Webb will not be available tonight. He had a death in the family, so he will be not available tonight. But he'll be back tomorrow and Saturday. So you know, Kristofak and Shunk are fully ready to go. Glover's ready to go. So the bullpen's in good shape, but Ryan Webb will be back with us tomorrow.
Gotcha. All right, Coach, always great talking to you. We love those Thursday conversations. Looking forward to another great weekend. Did tonight get sold out, or are there still tickets left?
Tonight's been sold out for over 2 weeks.
Well, I thought you said the Thursday had a few tickets left. I'm sorry.
That's, you know, I only work here. I don't know everything. So,
yeah,
I thought the last I had heard was we still had some Thursday tickets available, but I hadn't asked again. I just kind of assumed, because Thursday nights are tough to, you know, to sell out with. You know, you still got the kids are in school, and it's just traditionally around the league, Thursday nights are tough nights to get people in the stands. So I was a little concerned, you know, can we sell this one out? But I found out, you know, we sold it out May 2nd. It officially sold out. So we have been bombarded with people trying to get tickets, trying to find tickets. And, you know, my best advice on if you go to StubHub, you can find tickets and pretty affordable tickets at StubHub.com. But the ticket office here at Georgia is completely sold out. Everything, the student allotment, everything is taken up.
Wow.
And it's a really good problem to have, but I know a lot of people were excited to have finally great weather, a chance to compete for an SEC championship, and it's going to be a lot of people rolling around Foley Field this weekend.
And we've had a doubleheader in 6 of the 13 weekends, so hopefully that will not be the case this weekend. We should be good to go.
Unless the heat causes us to play, too.
don't put that out there.
I think we'll be okay. I think we're going to be okay.
All right, Scott. We enjoyed it. Best of luck this weekend, and we'll catch you again next week.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Georgia baseball coach Scott Strickland.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.